Today is the 16th day of September. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. Welcome back around the global campfire. Glad to be together again in our little secret safe space that we in this chaotic life that we create for each other every day. Our own little safe space. Even though it's big, even though it's like a couple stadiums big, it's our safe space here around the global campfire as we gather for yet another step forward on the grand journey that we are on through the scriptures. It is really, really wonderful. Really wonderful to be here with you today. And I'm grateful. We are working our way. And I'd say we're like about a third of the way now into and through the prophet Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, and the different visions and oracles that he spoke that are collected in what is known as the book of Isaiah. So we'll take, obviously, another step forward. Today, Isaiah chapters 22, 23, and 24. A pronouncement concerning the Valley of Vision. What's the matter with you? Why have all of you gone up to the rooftops? The noisy city, the jubilant town is filled with celebration. Your dead did not die by the sword. They were not killed in battle. All your rulers have fled together. Captured without a bow. All your fugitives were captured together. They had fled far away. Therefore I said, look away from me. Let me weep bitterly. Do not try to comfort me about the destruction of my dear people. For the Lord God of armies had a day of tumult, trampling, and confusion in the Valley of Vision. People shouting and crying to the mountains. Elam took up a quiver with chariots and horsemen, and Kir uncovered the shield. Your best valleys were full of chariots, and horsemen were positioned at the city gates. He removed the defenses of Judah. On that day, you looked to the weapons in the house of the forest. You saw that there were many breaches in the walls of the city of David. You collected water from the lower pool. You counted the houses of Jerusalem so that you could tear them down to fortify the wall. You made a reservoir between the walls for the water of the ancient pool. But you did not look to the one who made it, or consider the one who created it long ago. On that day, the Lord God of armies called for weeping, for wailing, for shaven heads, and for the wearing of sackcloth. But look, joy and gladness, butchering of cattle, slaughtering of sheep and goats, eating of meat and drinking of wine. Let's eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. The Lord of armies has directly revealed to me, this iniquity will not be wiped out for you people as long as you live. The Lord God of armies has spoken. The Lord God of armies said, go to Shebna, that steward who is in charge of the palace, and say to him, what are you doing here? Who authorized you to carve out a tomb for yourself here? Carving your tomb on the height and cutting a resting place for yourself out of rock. Look, you strong man. The Lord is about to shake you violently. He will take hold of you, wind you up into a ball, and sling you into a wide land. There you will die, and there your glorious chariots will be, a disgrace to the house of your Lord. I will remove you from your office. You will be ousted from your position. On that day, I will call for my servant Eliakim, son of Hilkiah. I will clothe him with your robe and tie your sash around him. I will hand your authority over to him, and he will be like a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. I will place the key of the house of David on his shoulder. What he opens, no one can close. What he closes, no one can open. I will drive him like a peg into a firm place. He will be a throne of honor for his father's family. They will hang on him all the glory of his father's family, the descendants and the offshoots, all the small vessels, from bowls to every kind of jar. On that day, the declaration of the Lord of Armies, the peg that was driven into a firm place will give way, be cut off and fall, and the load on it will be destroyed. Indeed, the Lord has spoken. A pronouncement concerning Tyre. Wail, ships of Tarshish, for your haven has been destroyed. Word has reached them from the land of Cyprus. Mourn, inhabitants of the coastland, you merchants of Sidon. Your agents have crossed the sea over deep water. Tyre's revenue was the grain from Shihor, the harvest of the Nile. She was the merchant among the nations. Be ashamed, Sidon, the stronghold of the sea, for the sea has spoken. I have not been in labor or given birth. I have not raised young men or brought up young women. When the news reaches Egypt, they will be in anguish over the news about Tyre. Cross over to Tarshish, wail, inhabitants of the coastland. Is this your jubilant city, whose origin was in ancient times, whose feet have taken her to reside far away? Who planned this against Tyre, the bestower of crowns, whose traders are princes, whose merchants are the honored ones of the earth? The Lord of Armies planned it, to desecrate all its glorious beauty, to disgrace all the honored ones of the earth. Overflow your land like the Nile, daughter of Tarshish. There is no longer anything to restrain you. He stretched out his hand over the sea. He made kingdoms tremble. The Lord has commanded that the Canaanite fortresses be destroyed. He said, you will not celebrate anymore, ravished young woman, daughter of Sidon. Get up and cross over to Cyprus. Even there, you will have no rest. Look at the land of the Chaldeans, a people who no longer exist. Assyria destined it for desert creatures. They set up their siege towers and stripped its palaces. They made it a ruin. Wail, ships of Tarshish, because your fortress is destroyed. On that day, Tyre will be forgotten for 70 years, the lifespan of one king. At the end of 70 years, what the song says about the prostitute will happen to Tyre. Pick up your lyre. Stroll through the city, you forgotten prostitute. Play skillfully. Sing many a song, so that you will be remembered. And at the end of the 70 years, the Lord will restore Tyre, and she will go back into business, prostituting herself with all the kingdoms of the world throughout the earth. But her profits and wages will be dedicated to the Lord. They will not be stored or saved, for her profit will go to those who live in the Lord's presence. to provide them with ample food and sacred clothing. Look, the Lord is stripping the earth bare and making it desolate. He will twist its surface and scatter its inhabitants, people and priest alike, servant and master, female servant and mistress, buyer and seller, lender and borrower, creditor and debtor. The earth will be stripped completely bare and will be totally plundered, for the Lord has spoken this message. The earth mourns and withers. The world wastes away and withers. The exalted people of the earth waste away. The earth is polluted by its inhabitants, for they have transgressed teachings, overstepped decrees, and broken the permanent covenant. Therefore, a curse has consumed the earth, and its inhabitants have become guilty. The earth's inhabitants have been burned, and only a few survive. The new wine mourns, the vine withers, all the carousers now groan, the joyful tambourines have ceased, the noise of the jubilant has stopped, the joyful lyre has ceased. They no longer sing and drink wine. Beer is bitter to those who drink it. The city of chaos is shattered. Every house is closed to entry. In the streets they cry for wine. All joy grows dark. Earth's rejoicing goes into exile. Only desolation remains in the city. Its gate has collapsed in ruins. For this is how it will be on earth among the nations. Like a harvested olive tree, like a gleaning after a grape harvest, they raise their voices, they sing out, they proclaim in the west the majesty of the Lord. Therefore, in the east, honor the Lord. In the coasts and islands of the west, honor the name of the Lord, the God of Israel. From the ends of the earth we hear songs, the splendor of the righteous one. But I said, I waste away, I waste away, woe is me. The treacherous act treacherously, the treacherous deal very treacherously. Panic, pit, and trap await you who dwell on the earth. Whoever flees at the sound of panic will fall into a pit, and whoever escapes from the pit will be caught in a trap. For the floodgates on high are opened, and the foundations of the earth are shaken. The earth is completely devastated. The earth is split open. The earth is violently shaken. The earth staggers like a drunkard and sways like a hut. Earth's rebellion weighs it down, and it falls, never to rise again. On that day, the Lord will punish the army of the heights in the heights, and the kings of the ground on the ground. They will be gathered together like prisoners in a pit. They will be confined to a dungeon. After many days, they will be punished. The moon will be put to shame, and the sun disgraced, because the Lord of armies will reign as king on Mount Zion in Jerusalem, and he will display his glory in the presence of his elders. Galatians 2:17 through 3:9. But if we ourselves are also found to be sinners, while seeking to be justified by Christ. Is Christ then a promoter of sin? Absolutely not. If I rebuild those things that I tore down, I show myself to be a lawbreaker. For through the law, I died to the law, so that I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died for nothing. You foolish Galatians, who has cast a spell on you? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified? I only want to learn this from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law, or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning by the Spirit, are you now finishing by the flesh? Did you experience so much for nothing? If in fact it was for nothing? So then, does God give you the Spirit and work miracles among you by your doing the works of the law? Or is it by believing what you heard? Just like Abraham, who believed God, and it was credited to him for righteousness. You know then that those who have faith, these are Abraham's sons. Now the scripture saw in advance that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, and proclaimed the gospel ahead of time to Abraham, saying, "All the nations will be blessed through you." Consequently, those who have faith are blessed with Abraham, who had faith. Psalm 60. Prayer in difficult times. For the choir director, according to the Lily of Testimony, a miktam of David for teaching, when he fought with Aram Naharaim and Aram Zobah, and Joab returned and struck Edom in Salt Valley, killing 12,000. God, you have rejected us. You have broken us down. You have been angry. Restore us. You have shaken the land and split it open. Heal its fissures, for it shudders. You have made your people suffer hardship. You have given us wine to drink that made us stagger. You have given a signal flag to those who fear you, so that they can flee before the archers. Selah. Save with your right hand and answer me, so that those you love may be rescued. God has spoken in his sanctuary. I will celebrate. I will divide up Shechem. I will apportion the valley of Sukkot. Gilead is mine. Manasseh is mine, and Ephraim is my helmet. Judah is my scepter. Moab is my wash basin. I throw my sandal on Edom. I shout in triumph over Philistia. Who will bring me to the fortified city? Who will lead me to Edom? God, haven't you rejected us? God, you do not march out with our armies. Give us aid against the foe, for human help is worthless. With God we perform valiantly. He will trample our foes. Proverbs 23, 15 and 16. My son, if your heart is wise, my heart will indeed rejoice. My innermost being will celebrate when your lips say what is right. All right, so as we took another step forward in Paul's letter to the Galatians, some of these themes, they will sound familiar, not only because they're kind of like bedrock Christian doctrine and theology, but because we explored some of this as we especially went through Paul's letter to the Romans, but we're reading the letters of Paul. And so this is so much of what Paul says is reiterating and reinforcing what he's said in other letters. So we've explored, and we should be familiar at this point, that there was a struggle in the early church, and we can see why Paul was hated by religious Jews with his inclusive language, and why this spilled over into conflict between Jewish and Gentile believers in Jesus, because of the cultural and ethnic differences, which, you know, this is the reason for this letter. So Paul spoke some really, really, really famous words today that come from Galatians. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. That is famous because it is declaring a complete reality. And as believers, we want to hold on to that reality because it is the end of who we were and the beginning of who we can be in Christ. So it's very famous, but how does it situate itself? What is the context for Paul making like such a completely audacious statement? It's Paul dismantling the Mosaic law as a way. Now, I'm not saying he's tearing the law apart completely like it doesn't exist. He's dismantling it as a way to be justified before God. And that is heresy to traditional Jewish people. That is what had people so enraged to the point of trying to kill him. His argument was that what the law's purpose, like why it existed, was to reveal ways that a person has failed. Like if there's no law, you don't know that you have broken it. If there is a stated law and you breach the boundary of the law, then you know you have failed it and are condemned. So if the law details all the requirements for what it takes to be right with God, then no one has not failed it. No one could ever be right with God because nobody could ever obey it fully except for Jesus. So for Paul, the only response then is to accept that reality. Nobody in their own strength can live up to this. So surrender. Die to it. Die to the law. just recognize you will never live up to it. It will only ever condemn you, so die to it. And when you do, according to Paul, well, he realized that that is what enabled him to actually live for God. And that happened by letting go of who he was without Christ and surrendering to the life, the new life, the new nature within him by faith. So as easy as this is for us to accept, especially if we've grown up in the Christian faith, this is very controversial. For a Hebrew person in the first century who has been trained as a Pharisee in Jerusalem and who had grown up trying to defend and obey the Mosaic law. So Paul is subverting a belief system and suggesting that it's been reframed, not done away with, reframed by a new covenant. The old covenant has reached its conclusion. And there is a new covenant found only in Jesus. And this is a covenant that's different. This is one of grace and mercy and faith rather than adherence through behavior to a set of rules and rituals and regulations. That, I mean, you can imagine if, like, the way that you look at things, just look at how you look at things now, how you believe that they are in your faith. If someone comes along and nuances that and subverts that in some sort of way, like, it's not just an easy sell. It really, really takes maturity and growth and the power of the Holy Spirit to ask the right questions, to move away from things that are no longer helping and move toward things that are more clear. So this is unnerving, the things that Paul is saying. And that made Paul, like, there were assassination attempts because he's a heretic. He's an apostate. He deserves to die. Jewish believers in Jesus also had a difficult time wrapping their minds around what that might even look like. Like, if Paul is even telling the truth, how do they imagine a life without the law? Because that is all they have ever known. So what do they even do with that? Paul is claiming that Jesus revealed this to him personally. And he put his life on the line to defend that reality. In fact, he held true to that statement and that reality until it cost him his life. So for Paul, God had done too many things to reveal the truth, and it had come to get him in such a dramatic way when he was so opposed to this message. And too many Gentiles were actually receiving the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives through faith in Jesus, even though they had no understanding or participation in the law at all. So for Paul to think that the law had anything to do with what God was doing, right? Like, it challenged everything. So Paul says, let me just ask you a question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by obeying the law of Moses? Like, is that what did it? And he says, of course not. You received the Spirit because you believed. You believed what you heard about Jesus. And the Holy Spirit affirmed himself by coming to you. So Paul's whole argument is entire theological framework hinges on these things. He had to go back to the beginning of the Hebrew story and Although Moses is a pillar and irreplaceable in the formation of that story, he wasn't the first one. So Paul had to go back to where the whole story begins, and that begins with Abraham, not Moses. And that is then a theological quandary for people arguing against Paul, because that is a fact. And they could not argue with that. And so what Paul is trying to unpack here is Abraham didn't have a law to obey. There was no law he was supposed to follow that would make him right with God. Abraham had faith in God and his promises and his sovereignty. And that faith was counted to him as righteousness. So for Paul, then he's like, I've gone back to the beginning of this whole story, and righteousness came through faith, not through a law. There was no law, but Abraham was made righteous by faith. And so for Paul, he's arguing that has always been the point. We have lost the plot. If we go back to the beginning of our story, we can see from the scriptures that this is true. So for Paul, then, the religious leaders of his time had, like, dismantled this covenantal relationship that God offered and distilled it down into ethics and rules and customs that could then govern and control the people. And since everything boiled down to obedience to the law, like, that was the extent of a relationship with God. There wasn't any freedom to actually be in a dynamic relationship with God. The law was this constant reminder of condemnation that they could never actually be righteous, and so therefore they could never actually have a true relationship. Whew, that's a lot. We have a lot to go in Galatians. But as we're going through it, we have this chance to explore and even review and re-engage with what Paul was saying in Romans. These are essential doctrines to the Christian faith. We're also getting a chance to get the backstory. Like, why is this controversial and why is this causing problems? And we can look at the tensions that existed and understand just how remarkable what Paul is saying is and why it was viewed as very controversial and even heretical as we continue forward in Paul's letters and the implications of them. So, Father, once again, thank you for your word. There's a lot of intricate technical language that we can get ourselves into, but when it kind of finally begins to come clear and we can have a context for it, it's incredibly eye-opening to understand what you were doing in this time and what the implications are to us. And freedom and relationship, a new creation out of an old broken person. These are things that we're being taught that are foundational, and we so often forget the implications of them. And so we find ourselves living, with the right words of a new creation, but pretty much wearing dead person's clothes. Pretty much without transformation outside of our language. And when we look deep into this, we see that these are utterly transformative words. They are paradigm shifts. They are earthquakes. They are absolutely monumental in the time that they have been spoken. So shake us, let them be that monumental of a shift in our existence. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com and the Daily Audio Bible app, these are home base. This is where to get connected and be connected to the journey that we are on as a community. Obviously, we're all over the world. It's an individual experience. It's a social experience. It's a community experience. It's all those things because we're showing up every day for a year and moving through the entire Bible in a year. And so staying connected to what's going on is important. And the app and the website will get you there. We're 20 years in now. Well, not fully, like every day marks a 20th time, a 20th anniversary. And so we've been celebrating some music. I Found Grace by my wife, Jill. Ezekiel singing When the Bow Breaks. Me singing Love Will Not Care. And then Jill and I doing our first duet. Blessed Be the Name from the Book of Job. And we released that as we were going through the Book of Job just recently. Make sure that, I mean, we did talks, we came on and shared. We're just kind of really trying to share it more personally, more deeply from our lives now that we're 20 years into this and still can't believe it. And so there's, you know, little talks all along the way when we release those, but just search for Jill Harden or Brian Harden or Ezekiel Harden, wherever it is that you listen to music, and you'll find these things, and I hope you will keep them playing and streaming and encouraging, being a part of your life. It was a joy to create them, and it is a joy to see them connecting. Since music was kind of our life before ministry, before Daily Audio Bible ever, it was even on the radar. And so we've just been sharing that part of the story. We've released Wind Farm, which is our coffee brand that comes from Ezekiel 37, calling to the four winds, the breath of life. I've been doing coffee around here for more than 15 years. Partly because we just love it. But we released a 20th anniversary reserve, a very special coffee that is Southern pecan. And that has also been widely accepted and enjoyed, and we've really enjoyed watching that. That is available in the Daily Audio Bible Shop, and we've released just recently The Breathing Prayer, our first ever children's book, and that comes straight out of our family, straight out of our son Ezekiel's life, who does Daily Audio Bible Kids. So you can find these resources in the Daily Audio Bible Shop, either on the web or in the app. And thank you for walking alongside us all these years. Thank you for celebrating the journey with us. We love you. And if you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, if being here, having this safe oasis that we create together every day, if that is meaningful to you, thank you humbly for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner, or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 3-7-1-7-4. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That is the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
CCMPA, this is God's Life Speaker. I love you, sister. And we would have time over coffee, but we don't here on DAB. Romans chapter 8. Now, you have been quoting Romans chapter 7. You know you're not supposed to do things, but you do them anyway. But keep reading. Open that up. There's no condemnation, so stop condemning yourself. You have got to decide if you are going to live by the law of the Spirit of life, or if you are going to live by the law of flesh and of death. You have got to set your mind. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. Wake up to where your mind is. Is it fleshly or is it in the spirit? Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile towards God. It doesn't subject itself to the law of God. And that is something we have to do. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Help guide me in all truth. And just like David in the Old Testament stirred himself up, we have got to stir ourselves up in the Spirit. And we're empowered by Him. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead gives us the power to raise ourselves with Him from our deadness. If we are not, verse 9, if you're in the flesh but not in the spirit, we don't belong to him. And that is a scary thing. But you belong to him, CC. If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the spirit is alive because of righteousness. In verse 13, if we're living according to the flesh, we have to die. But if we're by the Spirit, we're putting to death these deeds of the body and we will live. Heavenly Father, guide CC. May she decide to dwell with you.
Hello, this is Matthew Faust from Fairhope, Alabama. Zechariah chapter 1, verse 3. Therefore say unto them, thus says the Lord of hosts, return to me, says the Lord of hosts, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. It's been a long time since I've called in, and I've felt very far from the Lord over the last several years, actually. Some prayers that I had prayed didn't get answered in the way that I had hoped or wanted them to get answered. God hears our prayers, but I had, through those circumstances, I'd become to believe that there were some chains that Jesus just couldn't break, or maybe that he didn't want to break. Well, that's not true, because all power and authority is given unto him in heaven and in earth. And I tried many different ways to get back into the fold, into faith, into a right relationship, pure in my heart. And the answer for me was fasting. I just finished a 14-day water-only fast. Glory to God, because I couldn't do that on my own. And through that period, I came back to the Lord and am back with the Lord. He never left me. He said he'll never leave you nor forsake you, which is true. But I'm sharing this today that the power of fasting is real. Don't discount it. Prayer and fasting is all through the Bible. So humble yourself and pray, because God wants us to be with him. He desperately wants us, and it's our own self that gets in the way. God bless you. 7-3.
Hi, siblings. This is He Knows My Name in the United Arab Emirates. Just a quick update. I received my order for the Breathing Prayer books, which I ordered, and I received it super fast. I was a bit concerned that I may not receive it, because a few years ago I ordered the bye t-shirts and I didn't receive it. The money was refunded, but I don't know what happened. And thank you so much, Brian and Jill and Ezekiel, for the gifts, because when I opened the carton containing the breeding prayer books, there was the bye t-shirts, and my goodness, I screamed. I was like, oh my gosh, I remember. How is it? Because we changed location. Well, my name is still the same. But this was like years ago, and I could not believe that they remembered and they put it there for me. Thank you so much. So I got my bye t-shirts and I got my the breeding prayer books, all 30 copies of them. And I'm super excited about our son's birthday party because I'm going to be blessing the kids that will come for the party. Each one is going back home with the breeding prayer book. So I just wanted to share this praise report and update. Thank you so much. I can't wait to dig in and get the testimonies, and I'll be sure to share the testimonies here, as many as I receive. God bless this community and God bless every single one of you. I love you. Bye.
Good morning, Daubers. This is Deb, and I'm recording on Saturday, September 13th. I'm calling to ask prayers for a current health situation that has been going on for quite some time now. And my regular physician and myself finally thought we found somebody to help. We saw a neurologist who referred me to a neurosurgeon, and they both agree that I have intracranial hypertension, and they put a stent in my head to help with that. But since that, since the surgery on August 19th, my systemic blood pressure has gone really high, like super high, like 200 over 100. And my regular physician has had to give me medication, which I've never had to take before, to keep it down. We need some help. We need your prayers for somebody to figure this out, because the fact that I can't stay like this. So greatly appreciate your prayers and help. Lord bless you both. Lord bless you all.
As we mourn the loss of Charlie Kirk, let us be careful not to idolize the young man. Rather, use his life as a reminder of who he was pointing to. That is Jesus Christ. Please pray with me. Father, I lift up all those who are affected in one way or another by this senseless crime. Please help us remember not to idolize Charlie, but to carry the legacy he left behind. Give comfort to those grieving, especially his immediate family and friends. Let us not be focused on the man, but on you. Let us remember that Charlie stood for sharing you and your love with a nation that is so divided. Please, Lord, we pray that you forgive us for the times we serve men rather than you. Help us all as your children to stand firm against the forces of darkness and stand for what is right. Let us carry the legacy Charlie left behind. In your precious name we pray. Amen.
Hello, Daily Audio Bible family. This is Victoria from the beautiful rolling hills of Northwest Missouri. I just received my box of breathing prayer books and I'm blown away. I really am. All I can say is, wow, it's beautiful. It's perfect. The illustrations are gorgeous. It's a perfect length. The words are perfect. Everything is just fabulous. I tried to figure out how to put it on Facebook, but anyway, maybe sometime you'll see it there. But anyway, I just wanted to say, Brian, Jill, Ezekiel, thank you so much for this. It's just, like I said, it was perfect. And I wanted to say the ending, classic. It's just beautiful. And this is a book I'm going to buy many more. I'm going to give away as gifts. Our church has an event. Well, we always have a table and we do things at our little community day in the park that we have one day, and this year it was huge. I did not have this book yet. It wasn't out, but it will be there in the future, and I always have Bibles and things like that that we just give away, and it will be there. A stack of them will be there. It's so perfect, and I can just see this helping so many people. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you from the bottom of my heart and everybody else's that reads it. I just can't say enough good about it. It's perfect. Everybody go out, share this book with everybody you know, because it's a great one. Thank you so much. Love you all, family. Bye.